The train rolls into Trebon just after noon, and the first thing I notice is the smell. Not the town, but the air, heavy with water and pine. I step off the regional train, one of those two-car check railways units that rattle south from Sest-Ujavis, and the platform is already busy with families hauling towels and picnic baskets. It's a proper summer Saturday, overcast but warm, around 25 degrees, and everyone seems to be heading towards the ponds. I'm lugging my backpack and a small suitcase, and the walk from the station into the historic core takes maybe 10 minutes. You pass a row of red-roofed houses, then suddenly you're on Masaryk Square, and it hits you. This is a town that's been perfecting its summer since the Renaissance. The square is ringed with painted burger facades, and right in the middle there's a stone fountain from 1569, still splashing away. I set down my bags for a moment, and a group of teenagers cycles past, ringing their bells, weaving between the market stalls that have popped up for the weekend. It turns out I've arrived on a festival day. The 29th edition of Koktanova Trebon is on, the town's big water sprite festival, and I'm told the square will be full of fairy tale characters parading to the pond later. There's also something called the Hunter's Festival, which, as far as I can piece together, means hunting horn concerts and archery in the same square. I hadn't planned for any of this, but the energy is infectious. I grab a table at Cafe Kukasny, a cafe right on the square, and order a coffee. It costs about 60 koren, less than $3, and I watch the chaos unfold river of people dressed as spirits and hunters, a dog show somewhere in the distance. After coffee, I find my guest house, a small panzaion in the Trebon 2 district, the modern residential area that wraps around the historic core. I'd booked it online for about 900 koren a night, around $45, which feels reasonable for August peak season. The room is simple but spotless, with a view over a quiet street and a linden tree. I draw my bags and immediately head back out. There's a lot to see and the days are long. Sunrise just after 5, sunset past 8, so I have time. I walk towards the chateau, the big Renaissance complex built by the Rosenbergs after the fire of 1562. These days it houses the state archive, where they keep the famous Rosenberg and Schwarzenberg archives. I don't go in. The archive isn't for casual tourists, but I wander through the English park, which is free and lush, with enormous old oaks and views over the pond. The chateau courtyard is set up for something, chairs and a stage, and there's a poster for a concert by Slovak singer Richard Muller, apparently last night. I'm told the whole park fills up for the Water Sprite Festival tonight, with lanterns and a parade around Spet Pond. I make a mental note to come back after dark. Lunch pulls me towards the Regent Brewery, which has been making beer since 1608. I find a seat at a long wooden table in the brewery restaurant, and the menu is a love letter to local ingredients. I order the Smazany Kapper S. Bramborovum Saladum, fried carp with potato salad, which is about 220 koren, roughly $10. The carp is delicate, flaky, nothing like the muddy fish I'd feared. It's the same fish, I learn, that Rabarsky Trebon raises by the million for Christmas Eve dinners across Czechia. The brewery's own pivo, a pale lager, costs about 50 koren a half liter. I could get used to this. After lunch, I need to move. The town is surrounded by ponds, and the cycling here is famously flat, but I want to see the big one. Rosenberg Pond is the largest fish pond in the world, and it's about a half-hour walk from the square along a shaded path. The path is busy with families, some on bikes, some walking dogs. The pond itself doesn't look like a lake. It's more like a vast, shallow sheet of water, with reeds at the edges and a low dike holding it back. It was built in the 1580s by Jakob Kersen, the Rosenberg engineer, who basically turned this whole region into a carp factory with a network of canals and smaller ponds. I stand on the dike for a while, watching a heron stand perfectly still in the shallows. The wind picks up, and the water goes from pewter to silver. There's a family further along, a dad and two kids, throwing bread to a gang of mallards. I check my phone, no signal issues here. By the way, O2 covers the ponds well, which matters if you're out on the trails. It's a good reminder that this area is a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve, and I can see why. There's a calm, layered wildness to it that feels older than the town. I walk back via the smaller Svet Pond, which is right at the town edge and is where everyone comes to swim. The water is warm, 201 hectares of it, and there's a grassy bank with families spread out on towels. The peat spas Aurora and Berta sit just above the shore, white buildings from a more formal era. I don't book a treatment today, but I stop at the information board outside Aurora and learn that peat baths are the town's oldest industry and still its biggest employer. I'm tempted by the idea of floating in mud and then the pond, but I decide to save that for a quieter day. I make a quick detour to the Schwarzenberg Tomb, a pseudo-Gothic oddity in a park on the lakeshore. It looks like a miniature cathedral, octagonal and two-storied, built for the family that took over after the Rosenbergs ran out of heirs. It feels grand and a little gloomy, but the park is lovely, 17 hectares of lawns and rare trees. I see a white stork circling overhead, which feels like a good omen. By late afternoon, I'm back on the square, and the festival is in full swing. There's a craft market, a queue for Trudelnik, that sweet pastry you see everywhere, and the Hunters Festival has set up a falconry display by the old town hall. The town hall is a Renaissance building from 1563, with a 31-meter tower added in 1638, and I climb it for the view. It costs about 60 koren, and from the top you can see the entire layout. The square, the chateau, the green fingers of the ponds stretching into the countryside. It all makes sense from up there, why people settled here, and why they built the ponds to feed themselves. I stop for an early dinner at Restaurant Spratislavski Dom, a pub a block off the square. I order the Kandat na Bylingkak, pike perch with herbs and green beans, which is about 450 koren, around $20. The fish is grilled simply, with butter and dill, and it's the best thing I've eaten in Czechia so far. The restaurant is busy, a mix of tourists and locals, and the waitress is efficient despite the chaos. A half liter of the local lager costs about 55 koren, and I sip it slowly, watching the sun try to break through the clouds. As evening falls, the Water Sprite Festival's lantern parade starts to form near the Chateau Park. I join the crowd, a few hundred people of all ages, many carrying paper lanterns shaped like fish or water lilies. Someone's playing accordion, and there's a lot of laughing. The parade winds down to Svet Pond, and I find a spot on the bank. The lanterns float out onto the water, bobbing and flickering, and the reflection of the chateau shimmers behind them. It's not dramatic, but it's beautiful in a quiet, communal way. I walk back to my guest house as the sky turns a deep blue. The air is cooler now, around 15 degrees, and the streets are quiet. I've been here less than a day, but I already feel a rhythm. Tomorrow I'm planning to rent a bike and follow one of the flat trails around the ponds, maybe up to the peat bogs at Servine Blato. And I'm keeping an eye on the Muffin Festival, a reggae and drum and bass thing at a campsite outside town, which sounds gloriously out of place, but also very Trebon. For tonight, though, it's just me and the sound of the fountain in the square. I've got a map on the bed and a full day ahead.
Dobrý den, table.
I think we're going to get along. One more thing, if you're planning a trip here from Prague, don't expect a fast train. It took me just under 3 hours with a change in Sesk Biajavis, and the tickets were around 200 koren when I booked ahead. The center is walkable, but bikes really are the way to get to the ponds. And bring a swimsuit, because the water in Svet Pond is warmer than you'd expect for August. More tomorrow.